Welcome, everybody. This is Sunday morning, December 4th, 2022. And I wish everyone a Shavua Tov. If you were Kaddish Lelevana last night, a Chodesh Tov. And Rak Besorah Tova Delenu Bal Kol Yisrael. A number of comments on what we've said and information that's come in. I want everyone to understand that I say Belev and Nefesh, the bracha Shlo Asani Yisha. I can't conceive of being ashamed of a bracha that Mori Rebbe said, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, and Rav Aaron Cutler said, and I knew their wives as well. And believe me, they feared only the Ribbono Shel Olam and their wives. So, but the bracha, the real pshat of the bracha is simply we have more mitzvah than women. So we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have more mitzvot. But I mentioned, simply I'm proud that, let me see how I get the, here it is. Can you show the picture? Why do I get Aaron Kefet? I wish I knew how to work with this. And you can't see this. Ah, now you can see it, Baruch Hashem. This is the book I was talking about, Beit Yosef, on Rav Avadya Yosef. And Baruch Shekivanti, that both Rav Avadya and I had the same dashanut, I'll call it, because it's not the basic pshat. When you'll be pregnant, then you'll ask about the bracha shel Asani Yisha. And I can tell you that if you are familiar with Moshe Mendelssohn's work, Yerushalayim, so in 1840, I believe, they published it in English. And the person who did the English translation, I recall it was Moshe Simon, but you can check it out. And he writes in the introduction exactly the same concept that for those of you who have a problem, Shelo Asani Yisha, and already in 1840 they had the problem, he also goes into what women go through in childbirth, etc. So we're all speaking the same language. Now, the story I told you about Rav Moshe Bick with all the divorces he did, and he said people should go out. According to what I'm getting, a number of emails, it's 8 dates. I don't know exactly how we got 8. I would rather say 7 or 10. They have important meanings, but 8 dates. And the Satmaruv supposedly responded, quoting the pasuk from a week ago, "Katzdi b'chayai mipnei benot chet, 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 katzdi b'chayai." And then I have my version of what Rav Moshe Bick responded, Teddy Panis, Julius Panis, Rav Yehuda Panis, whatever name you know him by, told me that Rav Moshe Bick said that if people would see how many divorces I do a week, they would understand why I'm makpid, they should go out 8 times. My Talmud Dovi Schreiber wrote to me, Shraya, who works for the Yonu Rabbi Shraya, he said, Rabbi Bick responded, quote, "This is because the Satmaruv is a Masada Kedushin and I'm a Masada Gittin." So either way, it works out the same story, but very fascinating how the response works. I also want to mention that I mentioned in class Mayim Bialik, so my student Dr. Steve Kalender. Rebbe, you mentioned Mayim Bialik the other day. Not only is she the first woman to be the host of Jeopardy, which I don't know what they're talking about, but that doesn't matter. But in an article I read a couple of years ago in which she was interviewed, she said, quote, "Last week I was probably the only person on the set who was fasting and Taimit Esther," end quote. And my Talmud writes, that's a Kiddush Hashem in my book, and I agree. Regarding the story of the Chafetz Chaim, so Rabbi Moshe Katz wrote to me about Rabbi Natoli Tzvi Yehuda Rif, who was the Rav of Camden, who was a direct descendant of the Netziv. I knew him personally, I taught his descendants, and any people visiting Camden then, it's hard to believe today, but Camden then was a big Jewish center, and many visiting Rabbanim and Rebbeim would stay at his home when visiting to raise funds. One Shabbos, a Hasidic Rebbe was his Shabbos guest and he was staying on the second floor. The Rebbe sent his Gabbai down to tell Rabbi Rift that he couldn't sit at the Shabbos table if the Rebbetzin was at the table. Rabbi Rift's response, quote, "It's not a problem. We'll be glad to send the food upstairs." So you see, the Chofetz Chaim was not alone in what we spoke about with the Maram Shapiro, the Lublin Rav. Another letter in relation to, I was speaking about sex, marriage, and a normal attitude towards the fact that there are men and women in the world. So what Chaim Lindenblad, a Talmud, quotes Reb Dechiv, Reb Meish, I'm familiar with it, you know, Reb Meish was smart riding on the subway, even if you're squeezed together with women, I assume a normal person does it if you're squeezed in below Tava, and Reb Meish was smart here. And I wrote back to him that if you're familiar with Kalman Kahana's book, Antarat Mishpacha, Rabbi Kalman Kahana, who I also know, I taught his daughter Tova, Chaver Knesset, Paul Egerit Yisrael, a Yeki who became a chassid of the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish too is matter in a car. If you're squeezed together, if Belit Tava also is matter. All right, so we're on good ground. Regarding the scandal that the Tshuva was involved with, meaning essentially the Hasidic Rebbe, so we have solved the problem. It absolutely is the incident out of the mid-1990s. It was on a plane from Australia, and people sent me the names. I know the names. It all came back to me. It was front page news in Israel. It was in the New York Times. It said, Achilal Hashem, to the second power. And the reason I don't want to mention the name is because there are two Rebbeim that go by this name, one in Williamsburg and one in Borough Park. One is guilty and one had nothing to do with it. So if I mention the name, people can be confused. So let it stand this way. And Baruch Hashem, we established that it makes sense. What we don't know is how the judge reacted to all this. What did the judge finally say? What did he rule? Did he make allowances or did he let it stand with the jail sentence without any allowances? Okay, if anyone can ever find that out, let us know. Now I want to come back and I want to deal with something contemporary and something very seriously. So we spoke about Reb Meisha, this whole tshuva. I shouldn't say Reb Meisha yet, we'll come to afterwards, but Reb Menashe Klein, with the question of a synagogue having a dinner dance fundraiser once a year, Ramaz dinner dance, and this was Nahug in Israel's Olam Kaminogo Holech. Simon, I don't know, you're from London, if you had dinner dances there, but in America, this was Minhag HaMakom, the 40s, the 50s, into the 60s, with Ramaz was even later. Now, and we saw that it's a home machlokes ha'paiskim, is it an issue of the raita, an issue of the rabbanan, you're dancing with your wife, let's assume she's not a nida, but it leads other people to dance, and right, famous machlokes, Elisha Medina, benidat tumatal lo tikrav legalot erva, the way Maimonides explains it, the way Nachmanides explains it, it's an Issa d'Oraita, an Issa d'Rabbanan, but even if it's an Issa d'Rabbanan, you can't be mezalzel in an Issa d'Rabbanan. And the truth of the matter is that much of our religious life is built on Issurim d'Rabbanan. You take Shabbat, I think the first thing that children learn about Shabbat, I saw with my grandchildren, my daughters, I plead guilty that I had little to do in raising them. I give my wife all the credit. But my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I play a bigger role. So the first thing a kid learns is muktzah. There were great-grandchildren over the house Shabbos, and my grandson says, no, that's muktzah. You can't play with it there. And so what's muktzah? Dindi araita, dindi rabbanan. You take shivin ikiyim. When we talk about the whole Gezeirah, the Rabbanan, It's a din de rabbanan. You have wise Alex here who say that we should be mevatel the gezeira of Shimon HaKiyum. We're oversex today. Well, if you're oversexed, let me tell you that Shimon HaKiyum is the greatest gift that the rabbis can give you, because you remain loyal and faithful to your wife. But leave that for another time. And you can take kashrut, that we have two sets of dishes, a ben yomo and ain't a ben yomo. What are we dealing with? Dealing with din derabbanan. And I got an interesting email from Steve Gross, my dear student who's in the States for now. I once heard the Rav saying, Ishan Maria, that some rabbanim, when they want to permit some behavior, figure out how to reduce the behavior to a derabbanan and then allow it. But the Rav was very opposed to this technique, and he said it was ill-advised to behave this way. The action should be judged on its own merits and either permitted or forbidden. Being mezalzel with the Rabbanan was impermissible. Now, I just want to comment on this, that this is correct on all halachot. I'll tell you where it's not correct. It's not correct in Dini Mamzeret and Dini Aguna. There, go to Rakaf Edaron Chelik Gimel. Go to my article, which I think is in Rakaf Edaron Chelik Bet, if not Chelik Aleph, the one I published on the 100th yard site of Rabbi Yitzchokhan and Spekta. And there you'll see that with Mamzeret and Aguna, there's a special din, I would say it's a thrust, that we try to be lenient. Because you can all understand, the mamza has, as the Medrash says, why punish the mamza? He had nothing to do with the sin. As far as the aguna, you all understand very well, this is a terrible situation where the woman can't remarry and yet has no husband. So I'll tell you, in those two cases, if you go through 1,000 responsive literature, and I've maybe gone through more than 1,000, you see that they try to move it into a rabbinic area. That Mayim Shenlem Sof, I can't go into details now, it would take too long, but I'm just using cold words. The Gemara in Yevamot, Kuf Chapalev, Kuf Chapet, Mayim Shenlem Sof. Basically speaking, whenever we deal with it in the aguna, you're dealing it on a rabbinic level, because midoraita she's mutta. There's a rov that says the man is dead. And what we try to do, once it's on a rabbinic level, then we try to come up with a sveika, two different sveikot, and you can be mate. Safak the rabbanu lahakel, alacha kama vakama when there's a sveika. And that's what Rav Gorin did with the case, the Langer children, the Geirut wasn't good, and even if the Geirut was good, perhaps it was not a proper marriage, it was all done clandestinely. You go to Reb Moshe, and you go to Rav Avadya Yosef, endless fake sveika. Yomo, come back as quickly as you can, okay? Endless fake sveikas. So what the Rav says is correct. Basically, it doesn't need my haskama, obviously, but I just want to make that addendum that it doesn't apply to agunot and mamzeret. Now, this topic is halacha lemaisa right now. A storm broke in the United States. I received a number of emails, a number of people spoke with me, and I have to tell you, I absolutely agree with my colleague, my friend from childhood, Rav Heschel Schechter. The story is very simple. YU had a basketball team that was second to none. They won, I think it was 50 straight games. I know people my age I never saw, they were rejoicing, so you might think Joe DiMaggio hit 62 home runs. It was all right. It hurt. It helped YU in fundraising. I know. I saw the latest booklet. My Talmud Ari Berman, president of YU, so the president's report, and I saw how proud he is that 50 straight victories. The basketball team. All right. I don't want to be. I also love sport. I love baseball when I was a kid. At my age, I would be a lot happier to hear that 50 graduates of Yeshiva College at the age of 21 were Mesayim Shas. That would make me a lot happier today. But that's a function of Kohelet when I was in Shia Shir. And believe me, I appreciated the match. It was hitting streak. No, who knows, 56 games. And who knows who robbed him in the 57th game. Kenny Keltner at third base made two stops on hard balls that should have gone on to left field, and they should have been doubles, and that stopped DiMaggio at 56 games. So Kenny Keltner, the Cleveland Indians. So I don't want to be mezalzel, but I'll tell you what happened was the star of the team, someone named Turrell, and I can understand him very well. He is someone with tremendous basketball ability, and he's drafted by a monolithic team of the NBA, National Basketball Association, NBA, I think it's called. You can correct me if I'm wrong. He's drafted by a minor league team, and he's now playing, and he wears a kippah, and he plays on Shabbos. And how does he play on Shabbos? He claims, according to Rav Heschel, he claims he has Rabbanim, a matir, and again, look what's happened here. What's the Isha? There's no Isha D'Oraita. What's wrong with playing basketball? And we've spoken about this, the whole concept of playing ball, and you see when you turn it into an Isha D'Rabbanan, so can the Mekel sign, what's wrong? D'Oraita, what Isha is here? And I've spoken about this many times over the last 53 years. I have to tell you, Rav Heschel says right away, you look in, it's available online, Rabbi Heschel Schachter, a Kiddush Hashem with a question mark. And Rav Heschel says he should take off the kippah, it's a terrible thing, you can't believe Rabbanim were matir. And he's not the only one. I can tell you that this past year, two Frum kids were drafted for minor league, major league baseball teams, minor league of... Major League draft, and one kid from the coast, who I gather was made from by Chabad, his family, I see Chabadnikim, Nishkabarana, but Gekumana, and he won't play on Shabbos, and the kid from Woodmere, evidently in the YU product on the YU circles, the kid from Woodmere, he'll, exactly like Terrell, exactly like the basketball star, I'll go to a hotel, I'll be right near where the game is played, I'll walk over, I won't be Mechal Shabbos, etc., etc. And he said the same thing. So that wise guy Rakefet said, you see, we have a problem today. One time rabbis were rabbis of shuls, no one knew how to learn, there were no day school graduates, everyone listened to the rabbi. Today, Elliot Rasnas' friends went to Yeshiva Central Queens, other places, MTA, everyone is a big London, it's only Nisa Darabbanan, we'll do Kaliyacha Yad, etc., etc. We're not doing anything wrong. So Rav Heschel takes him to task the Rambam, that it's a Gemara in Shabbos, and the Rambam Paskins La'alacha, you have to change your clothes for Shabbos. Those of you who knew the Rav in Boston in the 1930s, when he first came to Boston, became a Rav, he wore a Langa Begad, a Prince Albert on Shabbos. And they, why? So it shouldn't be a short, there should be a difference. It's not a short clothes like we wear. Later he changed, he became more Americanized, and he wore a regular suit on Shabbos. But it's interesting, for a number of years he wore a Prince Albert. I've heard this from eyewitnesses from Boston from the 30s. So Rav Heschel takes him to task for that. I have a lot more to add. You know, you're playing basketball on Shabbos. Hundreds of thousands of dollars change hands to get into the game. A major, when it's the real NBA, you're talking millions of dollars. Who knows, $500 million with the betting and the gambling and the rights. And all over the world, people are looking at you on Shabbos, what you're part of, and they're writing and they're keeping score and they're using computers. There's no end to the Chilul Shabbos that you are part of. And this is not Shabbos. I agree with that, Preshla. I would have developed even more, but I guess this is just a brief statement he made. Zachar v'shamah, there's something involved with Shamah, not to do Isurim, but there's a Zachar. There's a certain spirit to Shabbos, a certain portrait to Shabbos. And this professional basketball, professional baseball, Hashem Yirachem, where does it come to Shabbos? And I feel bad for Terrell. And this brings us to the Israeli scene. Here we're trying, a new government is coming in. I mean, what's going on here is beyond comprehension. If you're aware of life, everyone believes in democracy, except if you don't, if Rakefet is a primitive and thinks men can't marry men and women can't marry women, he's a monkey. Democracy, how does man have a vote? If the progressives had their way, anyone who thinks differently is not allowed to vote. He's a monkey. He's an illiterate. He's deformed. It's beyond comprehension. Lapid and Eisenkopf, I shake. I met a man on the bus. I know him. He came in Aliyah about the time we did. A survivor from Hitler came to America. Very fascinating. A Hungarian survivor came to America with his brother, and they RJJ took all these kids in for nothing. You got to give credit. But there was one problem. He's a Hungarian. He didn't speak Yiddish. The Hungarians all spoke Hungarian. When I would go to Borough Park, and every street corner, you hear Hungarian. Williamsburg, if you didn't speak Hungarian, you couldn't do anything in Williamsburg in the 40s into the 50s. So they were in RJJ for a few months. Alskiben in Yiddish, they had to leave. They had to go to public school because they didn't understand. The English they understood already, but not Yiddish. So I met him on the bus the other day, and he said to me, and I said, I can't believe what you're telling me, because I said exactly the same thing to my children, to my grandchildren. Eisenkopf, do you imagine this man was head of the army? He made decisions that affect the life of every person in the state of Israel. And he called for 1 million people to go out on the streets and rebel against the new government. So here we have a new government, and I hope we'll have it this week. And we don't want soccer matches on Shabbos. Why? We want a kid growing up here. Natan came in Aliyah. He's marrying a wonderful girl. They'll have fabulous children. He'll have a son who wants to play soccer. Why shouldn't he be allowed to play soccer? In other words, where I come from, every kid, Hanoch Lunal, P.Dako, if a frum kid wants to be a musician, if a frum kid wants to play, why? Get rid of the Shabbos. Chas v'chalila, they'll pick up, the left one will pick up. Fanatics in Israel, why you graduates playing with their kippah on Shabbos? So I want to state halacha l'maisa, not that Reb Heschel needs my approval or my acquiescence, but I want to state I 100% agree with Reb Heschel Shachta, and I feel for this kid Terrell. I wish I could say to him, come in Aliyah, and here you can be a basketball star, and you won't have to play on Shabbat. I think it can be done. There were others who didn't play on Shabbat. And Halavai, the new government should establish that this is a Jewish state, L'Kavod U'L'Tiferet. Now, with that being said, I want to move on. And we're dealing here with a medley of tshuva, dealing with shuls. We dealt with the shul in St. Louis. And, before we come to St. Louis, we dealt with Reb Menashe Klein is dealing with the shul, with the dinner dance, and halacha lemaisa, it's asa. And basically, you can't quibble, you can't have it any other way, I'll tell you why. The whole concept of men dancing with their wives is beautiful. What if your wife is a nidan? This is what Reb Menashe Klein says. And he's absolutely right. So you're going to be embarrassed. Suddenly there are 100 married couples there, and 100 married couples are dancing. Statistically, that's impossible. But you're ashamed. You don't want everyone to know my wife has her monthly guest. She's unwell and nida, and it's not Yiddishkeit. You have to have a feeling for Yiddishkeit. There's a certain amount of modesty. We can argue and quibble, mix eating at weddings. All right, we all have our own feelings, our own hashkafa. Yomo hits me every day and tells me that he calls Rav Shechter that because I has she grew up the way I grew up, and where does he come to separate seating? Impossible. But Yomo, it's not the first time you quoted him on this topic. Let me remind you, you quoted me 2 years ago and a year ago, and I can tell you what you said word by word. And Rav Heschel says the women dress differently today. This place, the dresses are tighter. That's what you told me.
Yes.
And a few years ago, you told me the same thing.
Yes, I did mention one.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, Yomo admits the Rebbe's memory
not
is good.
Day.
Not every day. Sorry, I don't. Every day we do other things. I admit. No, we don't just talk about weddings and separate seating. But you can have your own feelings. And I admit, I live in a time warp. I'm sitting before the Rebbe. The Rebbe is sitting here at my shiur. I mean, I had wonderful experiences in my life. Now, I don't know how many people you've met that can boast that they spoke and learning with the Rebbe, with Rebbe Moshe, with Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, and I can go on and on with the Lord, with all the chief rabbis of Israel, Baruch Hashem. So, all right, I have my own feeling. To me, certainly the young people have to sit together at a wedding. Shidduchim have to come out of it. We have a terrible problem today that men and women are conquering the world. We're very bright and so many jobs are open to us. And particularly the women who, to begin with, are brighter than men and have more seichel than men. And open Gemara, b'niyatei rabbanashim, the Gemara nita. And no one's getting married, and it's a terrible problem on both sides of the ocean. So certainly they should sit together. That was Rav Breuer, and I can tell you, I've told the story, I tell it again, with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. There was a family affair. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik ties in with the Marcus family. His son-in-law was Rafi Marcus, Seichat Tzadik Levracha, fabulous individual. God only calls him the best, that's all I can tell you. So there was a family affair where Rabaron and Ella were invited from the Marcus side. So they went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and asked Rabaron. I was told by Rabbi J. Marcus told me the story. He goes over to Rabaron and says, Rebbe, you know what? The affair, we're having some Hasidic Rabbeim. We're having a separate area for them where they sit men and separate and women separate. How do you want to sit with them or do you want to sit with your wife with the family seating? And Rav Aaron responded, quote, I love my wife. What kind of question are you asking me? I want to sit with my wife. And I come down with Rav Aaron. But this, you can have a difference of opinion. But when you talk about dancing with a nida, there's no difference of opinion. And therefore, Rav Menashe Klein paskin what he paskin. Now, I want to go further. I want to pick up the tshuva of the Igrot Moshe. It's very fascinating. Here already, it's not the question of a synagogue sponsoring a dinner dance, a fundraiser, a banquet. But here already, there's a shaila, and that happened in St. Louis. And I explained to you last week, let me tell it again. Quickly, it's the first volume of Igrot Moshe, Orech Chaim, came out in 1959, Siman Lamed Aleph. And in St. Louis, which was an organized community, there was a breakaway from the main shul. Rabbi Eichenstein was called the chief rabbi of St. Louis, Rabbi Menachem Eichenstein, Menachem Zvi Eichenstein. It's a famous family. There's part of the family in Israel today, part of the family in Chicago, and I know parts. If I'm not mistaken, Harav Moshe Meiselman is married to Lynn Eichenstein, and she said, Tzadeket Yesod Olam, a very inspiring lady. It's quite a family. So there's a breakaway from the shul, it's the Young Israel, and like many other shuls, all year long the shul is big enough to hold the crowd. Hashanah Yom Kippur, a mob scene comes. And here I have to tell you one of my memories of life. I had a fabulous Rebbe, 8th grade, Reb Henoch Fishman, who I'll speak about in length when I deal with the European yeshivat. And Reb Henoch treated us like, I was a 12-year-old kid when I first met him, and he treated me like an adult. And he would recollect upon Europe. And one time he tells me that you do weißt die Unterschiede, you know the difference between America to Europe? He says, in Mir, there was many people staying night for Marav as they were for Kol Nidre. And I'm an American kid, I never believed him. I said, this is impossible. I mean, you know, in my shul when I was Rav and building Maplewood, when Yom Kippur ended, I would get up and announce, the next minyan will be next Rosh Hashanah, and I give the date, the time. Wow, what are you talking? When I came in Aliyah, I started to understand what Reb Henoch was saying. It's true. I can understand it. So here in St. Louis, the Young Israel maybe was in a storefront, maybe in a rented office, not big enough for a Shoshana Yom Kippur, so they rented a ballroom. And this is the whole question, can you rent a ballroom, a dance hall? Where you go to Queens, you'll see Friday night, I saw in Kew Gardens Hills, endless non-Jews on Main Street, and they told me there's a dance hall downstairs. People go in, you have a cocktail, you have some cake, there's dancing. This is all right, you have weddings there, maybe bar mitzvahs, whatever, but what the entertainment, what goes on? Wow. So Ramesha says, no, this raises the whole question. And I have to say, Rabbi Grunstein, my dear Talmud, sent me, on any topic I mentioned, he has all the sources, a printout. I'm well aware of it, but I don't want to get involved. See, it's a whole question. Can you have one shul after another? And there are many facets to this question. For instance, Barovam Hadrat Melech. Natan, you wake up for Leil Purim, and you got to decide which shul to go to. One shul has 1,000 people, one shul has 20 people. Could be you have to go to the shul with the bigger minyan. Could be. I'm hedging my bets. But logically, Rovam Hadrat Melech, that's part of it. Then there's another story. Money. If you organize another shul, you're robbing. I'm the rabbi of a shul. I get paid at least $100,000 a year. I have to struggle. I have to raise it. And the shul's budget for the year is $500,000. And you come along and open another shul. It pulls away 40% of our budget. Hasagat gvul? It's another part of the question. Then there's another concept. Elliot, BMT began. BMT, we turned the tide of history. I'm proud. I mean, I have to be honest with you. My whole life was shaped by BMT, period. Not for now, I can't go into details, but that's a fact. Today, there's so many different schools. A kid doesn't like BMT, it's not enough Gemara. A kid doesn't like Torah Shraga, it has a little chassidus in it. You have Shalavim, and you have Akotel, and you have Alon Shvat. And you have yeshiva, my Talmud, or Boaz Mori organized the yeshiva that has a whole Chesda program for foreign students. Then I have a Talmud organized the yeshiva kids who don't want so much Gemara. They're not cut out to learn Gemara. They're from kids, fine, good, but we're not like you. Like I'm not cut out to learn geometry. They're not cut out to learn Gemara. So they have Chesed, they have projects for them. They travel, they tour, they do chesed. Many of them come in Aliyah, they're inspired. They live in Yehuda Vishomran, God bless them. You have so much choice. So the same thing with shuls. Kinat Sofrim, Tar Bechokhma. And the more shoes you have, the more choice. This Nusach, that Nusach. So, you see, this is a very, it's not a simple issue. But Reb Moshe develops the idea that the place you pray in, and this is the Gemara in Bracha, you can go in, all of you know Bracha, that's not a... the place you pray in influences your prayer. And you should pray, for instance, the Gemara puts stress, the Beis Medrash where you learn. And it could even be, according to Tosfot, in Bracha, that even davening b'yichidut in the Beis Medrash is better than davening within a minyan in a regular shul. So you say the place affects you. And if that's the case, Reb Moshe develops the idea to go into a dance hall where so much goes on that's against halacha, this is not a place for a shul. Okay. Now, Reb Moshe quotes the source, and I'm going to tell you a good joke here. It's a sad source, but reality is reality. I just had it out with the grandson on Shabbos on Rabbi Tau. Reality is reality. I had Rabbi Dr. Leo Young. I studied with all the great rabbis, the great three rabbis, Lookstein, Goldstein, and Young. I studied with all three of them. So Dr. Young gave us a quote that I never forgot. Judaism is perfect, Jews are not. And this is exactly what life is about. For me, it's very hard for me to come to this conclusion, but I see it, so you can't change the world. To me, I grew up amongst tzaddikim, we're always striving to do better, to do good. I forget about yeshiva, I remember Bnei Akiva. There was such a feeling in Bnei Akiva. Rabbi Reuben and Yitz Reuben will tell you, agree with me. We grew up together in Bnei Akiva. It was always a feeling, perfect yourself. What are you going to do for your people? Miriam Beinhorn, your choice to be just another social security number or to change the world. And this was wonderful, wonderful. But unfortunately, the same Torah says, Lo tirtzach, lo tinav, lo tachmod, right or wrong. And people are people, lo aleinu. So now let me ask a question. Wait a minute, a dance hall. And what, there isn't a shul where sins don't happen? So let me give you an interesting source. Orechayim Kufnun Aleph. Din Kedushat Beit HaKneset Kufnun Aleph Sif Aleph. But they can you see out the body midrashat, ain't no hagimbechem kalit rosh. In a shul, you don't act in a juvenile, in a stupid, funny, lighthearted manner, humorous manner. What does it mean? Kagon schok, vihitul, vishicha betela. All right, you don't fool around in a shul. Shicha betela, I hope we can live up to this. And this is the halacha, and you look into the Be'er Heitev, right on this halacha, that asur lishchot beveit haKnesset, that you're not allowed to slaughter in the Beit Knesset. And you can understand slaughter, I don't know, it's not proper, not proper. I can tell you in Russia, when the Shoichet, the Shoichtim who were allowed, so I remember the Shkita used to be outside the Beit Knesset, in the backyard, but not in the Beit Knesset proper. And then the Be'er Heitev quotes a tshuva from the Rishonim. The afilu naaseh beveik neset aveira shematzu leshamash mitolel im na'ra achat shemutal hitpalel shem v'chol kenushat beit haKneset olav. And here they found a shamas in the Beit Knesset, they're using the word litolel, it's the way we're messing around with, that was a term that we would use in my youth, messing around with a young girl in the shul. No? But still, the shul, it says the battery is running low. What does that mean? we're on a battery or we're on a... Everything is plugged in. Okay, I hope we're okay. No, battery running low. Hold on 1 second, Yomo.
No, Rebbe's fine now.
I can talk. Okay. So, does the shul lose its kedusha? The shamus sinned with the skirl. So, the Ber HaTev paskins, and it's paskin lahalacha, you don't forfeit the kedusha of the shul because of one illicit act. And Rav Meisha quotes this. He says, this concept that you don't forfeit the shul because of one illicit act does not apply to a ballroom, because a ballroom is every day, whenever it's rented out, whenever there's a party there, there's mixed dancing, there's pornography, there's vulgar jokes, that removes the kedusha. One simple act doesn't. This is the Be'er HaTev. This is Rav Meisha. Now, I want to tell you something out of my youth. I don't know if they got it from here or if it really happened, but it's a world that you can't relate to today. I came from a world where there was still that tension between the Chassidim and the Mitnagdim. And you see it, my dear Talmud, Rabbi Moshe Wiener, who's been after me for so many decades to grow a long, long beard as he believes that you should have. So you see, there's a difference between us. But let's look at it psychologically. A chassid views a person like myself. How can he be from? He's not dressed in black, doesn't wear a suit, Western clothes, nice eyeglasses, etc. How can it be from? And no beard, no payas. The Litvak views the chassid, no maritz, doesn't know shas and paiskin backwards and forwards, what good is his beard and his payas and his black clothes, learned in Kenanish, and this machloik was always there. Even the Rav would tell us jokes about the machlekes. Okay, I want to tell you something. The Hasidim inevitably came from the Galician area. And the Galicians, the Galicianers, had a problem with the shin, a sin. If you were raised that way, the Mishnah Berurah discusses it, by the way. I remember Rav Mendel Zaks, I write about it in Washington, my bechina to get into YU, Reb Mendel Zaks says to me, Zog abissel rasi. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm thankful and true today. I traced down Rabbi Berman, who leaned over and whispered to me, he means Rashi. Saved my life. I read Rashi. Because I got into the second year shiur. Zog abissel rasi. So, a guten Sabbath. They couldn't pronounce the shin. So when the Hasidim wanted to make fun of the Litvakim, they used to say, A Litvak? Sabis nach Sachwis am Zegefunin de Samis and Sumit Asiksa. No, what did I just say? Their attitude was, what, the Litvakim are from? Shabbos, after Shachrit. They found the Shamis in the shul with a shiksa. It's exactly this Be'er HaTev. I don't know if they got it from there, but if they did, they were lamdanim ufakim. Sabbos nach sachwis hamze gefunin de samis and sul mit asiksa. All right. So when I saw that Be'er HaTev, I couldn't stop laughing. I said, wow, these Galicianos, they weren't so stupid. They knew a Be'er HaTev. The only difference is, in the Be'er HaTev it says Anara, and they couldn't conceive that a Jewish girl would do such a thing, so they had the Samis Mitasiksa. You follow? With the Shiksa. The New York Times uses that word too. So Reb Moshe says that behetev is not applicable to a dance hall because a dance hall is constant. All right. Now, then he goes into a different problem at the end. What about if the young Israel will purchase the dance hall? Can they turn it into a shul? And here, you'll see the sources. The only time there is really a problem of converting something into a shul is when there was Aveda Zara there. Because Aveda Zara creates a status of mius, ma'us, detestable. Shakeits de shatsenu, v'taiv tavenu, ki cherim hu. Could very well be that applies to a Roman Catholic church. See, that's not so simple. A Protestant church, no problem turning it into a shul. And you can give many examples across the length and breadth of the United States where they took a Protestant temple and turned it into a shul. Roman Catholic would be much more difficult. And here where it's a dance hall, there's certainly no Aveda Zara. Could be a riot, but it's not Aveda Zara. And if they were to buy it and turn it into a shul, kishakanu alto v'kavu l'beit ha-knesset, then you could have no objection. And then the whole question is, Hasagat Gvul, but it could very well be that once it is a proper Beit Knesset, all the other questions fall aside. And Avo Liknot Makom Kazelik Boa Mahayom Vahala Lebeit HaKnesset Mistava Shemuta. Reb Moshe Paskins, it seems that this would be permissible. And all the other problems, even the Hasagat Gvul, the money problem, that those problems fall by the wayside. Once it's a kosher shul, then we have to join with them, accept them, live with them, and work with them. And this went on in, I mentioned last week, we spoke about Kew Gardens Hills in Jamaica. This was the big difference. In Jamaica, they went to Din Torah, and there was an issue of Hasagas Gvul, and the Rebbe saw he's not going to get anywhere in Jamaica. He came to Kew Gardens Hills, and Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, who was just beginning, the Young Israel, and Rabbi Usher Kirschblum of the Conservative Temple, they sent their own people to help the Rebbe have a minyan every day. And that shul continues, L'Kavod U'L'Tiferet on Main Street. It's right around the corner from Landis College, Landis High School, the yeshiva there, part of the great Turo system, right around the corner. Now, I want to hit upon one more tshuva, which is halacha l'maisa, very much halacha l'maisa. And it's also the question of where you daven. And again, I come to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Igrot Moshe Orachayim Chelik Shlishi. This was the third time around he published on Orachayim. It was published in 1973. It's Tshuva Chafhei 25. The Tshuva is from 1964. It's to Reb Shlomo Warman. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I can be corrected, I know a number of Warmans. I think this is Rabbi Warman, who was a Talmud of Rav Eliezer Silva from Cincinnati. I think he winds up in Far Rockaway. If anyone can add information, I'll be happy. Okay? And you're going to recognize this problem right away. People moved they described the situation. People moved to a community where all they had was a big conservative temple. So when a few religious Jews moved in, they organized a minyan in one of their homes. Afterwards, the minyan was too big for the living room for the home, and they wanted to rent a room in the conservative temple and daven in the temple. The room they would rent, they put in the mechitza, everything would be done pi halacha, according to Torah standards. Are they allowed? By the way, I have to tell you, I spoke about this years ago, Tinek essentially began this way. They rented, there were two religious families, one of them on a Shevitz, another family, and they rented, they davened in their basement, and I think later they might have been in by Feldman's temple, but that's how it began, and take a look what Tinek is today. All the temples there became, put in Mechitzat, became Orthodox. So Rabbi Warman Paskin that they are not allowed to do it, that a conservative temple, absolutely forbidden. And he turned to Reb Moshe and asked Reb Moshe's opinion. Now, Reb Moshe raises the issue with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, a very fascinating Gemara. Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph Amid Bet. And I'll read the Mishnah to you. Isha Yeshba Avodah Kachavim Chutzala Muta. Haya Chutzala Avodah Kachavim Betocha Muta. Mahu Leilech Shama Bisman Shaderech Miyuchedet Leotomokam Asua Bimayala Halechba Lamakam Acher Muta. And what it's talking about is very simple. If this city has Avodah Zarah in it, and you're going into the city, it's forbidden because people are going to be Choshesh, you're going Lavod Avodah Zarah. If you're outside the city, then it is permissible because the Avodah Zarah is inside, not outside. It's talking about Yom Edom. If you've learned Avodah Zarah, you know what I'm talking about. There's the whole problem, Christmas, Yom Edom. We have this drama, Halacha Lemaisa, Christmas gifts, Christmas trees, public, private. So, all right, we get away with it because they've taken the CH out of Christmas, if you understand what I'm saying. It's, Black Friday, November, selling, doing. Most people in America no longer believe in anything. But if we would really believe in Christmas, it wouldn't be so simple. And if the Edom, the holiday, the Christmas, the New Year's, the Easter is in the city, so outside the city you can do business, not in the city. If it's outside the city, you can do in the city, not outside the city. What about a path leading to the city where the Avodah Zarah is? If that path only leads to the city, not allowed to take it. Marit Ayin. People will be Choshesh, you're going to the Avodah Zarah. If the path leads elsewhere, in other words, you can get off the Avodah Zarah, or it continues on elsewhere. So if you're on the path, there's no Marit Ayin. People will believe you are going beyond and not to the Avodah Zarah. Now that's a very fascinating Gemara, and Reb Moshe applies the Gemara right to this question. And if you are going to go into the temple, what do you mean you're going into the temple? Let's tell you, my first rabbinate, Lower Merion Synagogue, 1961, 1962, we were in a converted house. Across the street was the Lower Marian temple, a conservative synagogue. It was like a tremendous property. What a tremendous building. Lower Marian is part of the main line. Natan, you know what the main line is about? The socially prominent main line. Billionaires lived there. Where I lived on Conshohocken State Road, right around the corner was the was the church where Rockefeller got married, Nelson Rockefeller. And believe me, where Rockefeller gets married, where Trump gets married, guys like Rockefeller are afraid to walk because our wallets are empty. Okay? So what a place, right across the street. Do you know that for Ne'ilah, there was a tremendous traffic jam? This was my first Yom Kippur in the rabbinate, a little innocent kid from the Bronx. Hundreds of cars coming back to the temple for Ne'ilah. Police directing the traffic. Place overrun. Wow. They were gone after whatever they have for Musaf. I don't think they davened Mincha in a conservative temple. Maybe they davened Mincha earlier. Or maybe they were coming back. Mincha, Ne'ilah, what a crowd. Now, Reb Moshe says, you're going to go to the temple. How many from Jews are there? The conservative temple has 500 families. From Jews, there are now 7-8 families. Everyone is going to think you are conservative, and that's why you're going to. Kivin shel chimle beit haknesset shel haconservativim heim harbei dehem hayu kol b'nei hayim itchila rak shata nitkapsu ma'adirei Hashem v'torei mitzvah harei haro'im yomru shechem Maholchim mehaholchim lebet haknesset conservativim v'ika bezeh isa maret ayin. And Reb Moshe says, you're absolutely right. You cannot rent a room in a conservative temple. Now, Natan, something bothers you, I'll get there. Just relax. Okay? Now, what happens if the crowd picks up? I'm quoting Reb Moshe, and you have Habei Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. Reb Moshe uses language like I use the Miyut HaNikar, right? And now people will know, yeah, 2 out of 3 are going to the temple, but 1 out of 3 are going to that old-fashioned Orthodox minyan. Perhaps there's no Marit Ayin. And here Reb Moshe says something very sharp and very profound and absolutely correct and exactly part of one of our main challenges today. He says, yes, in that case there wouldn't be Marit Ayin. But then there's another problem. People see an Orthodox minyan in the conservative temple. People will think there's nothing wrong. It's interchangeable. It's like 2 different nischa'at. Quoting Reb Moshe, Ashkenaz, Sfad. Here in Israel, Ashkenaz, Sfad, Eidot HaMizrach. Teimani. 4 different nischa'at. A choice. Moshe says, this is very bad. This is exactly our problem today. You take the average Jew raised in the secular education system in Eretz Yisrael, he looks at you. I'm not religious. I'm chiloni, secular. But you have choice. Orthodox, conservative, reform, all equal, all Jewish, all wonderful. Do you see what I'm talking about? This Reb Moshe hits the nail on the head. people think that way. The average person growing up here, you have to have choice, freedom of choice. I don't interfere with you. The mayor of Tel Aviv, the mayor of Ramat Gan, I can't believe how these people can be mayors. There's a critical mass of Sephardic Jews who are traditional. How do you vote for these people? Their attitude? Rakefet, I don't stop you from going to shul. You're an idiot. Sit in shul all day and learn and sing smirit, do whatever you want. I want to go to the beach. Democracy. And I have to tell you, we have to educate. Yes, this state has to be Jewish and democratic, but the Judaism comes first. And our whole right to the land is because we are Jews and this is the land promised to our forefathers. If the land does not live like a Jew in the public thoroughfare, we had no right to kill even one Arab. Who gave us a right to lift weapons? The Sapurim says that, he's right. We're not good Jews. Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha, public thoroughfare. And Reb Moshe here hits the nail on the head. And then he says something else. Maybe it'll happen that there won't be a minyan in the Orthodox room. So they'll go over to the temple and daven there. She's the main Shaloya Minyan Bechedish of Shomrei Torah. He consumed the Beit HaKnesset shall a conservative him. All right, he's worried about that. For OJ, and here, how many times I had this question. Yomo, have you ever walked up the Agron Hill? On the top of the hill where you hit Keren HaYesod, not King George, there's a big conservative center, the Fuchsburg Center. For years, they had, I knew it, you know, 53 years already. I knew the rabbis. Some of them were 100% Shomrei Shabbos. One of them was a right winger, no different than I am. And what a darshan. Spoke fabulously. I know from people, used to go to hear him. And I would comment, I'm not happy with it, because to hear him is fine, I love him. But when you walk in, people say, oh, so-and-so is also going to the conservative temple. Why can't I? And here he says, there's another problem, that the conservative rabbi can be a very good speaker. But Rav Moshe says, people will hear Misha Yishma Shadoresh HaRabbi Shalachem Shechein Barov Divrei Kefira Uminut. Ah, Ukeshehu Kakach Samuch Yatelev Avoli Kanei Shama Lishmoa Ma Shadoresh. And he's, Rav Moshe says, I have another fear, that people will go to hear the rabbi. What a conservative rabbi does. You mean it, fear it, generally speaking. Or today, particularly so. Orthodox rabbis, primitive. Like the Maskilim, they used to call the Frum people the Lishkat HaChoshech. Their central office, an office of darkness, primitiveness, medieval thinking. So Reb Moshe Paskins, Lachain Ein Liskar Mehem Cheder Latvila. And evidently this too was written, Reb Moshe himself, Yedidoma Barcho B'Ktiva V'Chatim Metova. Evidently this was before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they needed a bigger place. Moshe Feinstein. Alright, this is what Reb Moshe Paskins. I have to tell you, not everyone agrees with him. And here, b'didei havi uvda, tell you, Maisa Rav, paraphrasing the Amorim Baba Batra. Come back to Lower Merion Synagogue. Right opposite us is the conservative temple. We were then in a converted house. Today, Lower Merion is the biggest shul, I believe, in all of Pennsylvania. Well, we were then in a converted house. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we absolutely needed more room. The rabbi of the temple, Rabbi Berkowitz, if I recall correctly, was generous and kind. He was approached and said, gladly gave us the library, big room, set it up, do what you want. And now I had the first difficult shaila I got in the rabbinate. And among my balabatim, key balabatim, was Professor Henkin, the law professor, son of Rabbi Eliyahu. So I called Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. And I asked him the shaila. And I have to tell you, all he wanted out of me was a promise that I'll do something for Ezra's Torah. You never saw an individual more dedicated. Ugh. They don't make them like Rav Henkin. When Ezra's Torah gave him a raise, he refused to take it. I mean, you have no idea what we're talking about. So I called Rav Henkin, the grandfather of Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who was Shulet Shuvit B'nei Banim Zeket Tzadik Levracha, Hannah Henkin's husband. And I asked Rav Henkin, and I can quote him word by word, but I have to quote him in Yiddish. He says, you can do everything al pi halacha. They're not mixing into what you're doing. I said, no, avada nisht. Mituin kedas v'kedin mit ha-machitza alts. We do everything fine with the machitza. He said, exenish the kainisa v'sazaynasa. In your room, you're davening in your room, everything is fine. And he passed la halacha, it was mutter. And I remember putting up the sign at Kabbal, I didn't save it, and I just spoke with, and it worked very well. At least that issue I handled well. The Balabatim, Rav Henkin, it's Professor Henkin's father. Wow. Okay. Fast forward, and you have Queens. Queens is undergoing a metamorphosis. It may not be good for Torah, because all the young couples are moving out. They don't remain in Queens, basically. Either they move to the five towns, or they come in Aliyah, Baruch Hashem, or Teaneck, Englewood. Why? What's wrong with Queens? I don't know, but I guess it's New York City and with all the problems and commuting, and I don't know. It's not what it used to be. What saved Kew Garden Hills right now is the Bukharan and the Judean Jews. They've come in, they've come out from Forest Hills, they've come out from Queens further down, what that Floral Park, I think it's called. If not, I'm wrong. If it's not Floral Park, give me the name. There is a name. It used to have a lot of big Orthodox shuls. Today it's mainly Eidot HaMizrach, Bukharin, Georgian, etc. You take Hillcrest. Hillcrest is a prime example of what's happening. There are tremendous conservative temples. One Hillcrest Jewish Center, and the other one Utopia Parkway Jewish Center. They're maybe a mile apart. As time moved on, there are no conservative Jews left in Queens. The older people are moving to Florida. The younger people are moving out and couldn't care less about Yiddishkeit. Utopia Parkway Jewish Center, a whole group of from Jews, more and more from Jews moved into Queens, moved into Hillcrest. They didn't want to walk to the Young Israel. It can be rainy, it can be snowy. Young Israel is a place 8-9 blocks away. So Rabbi Burke Leff and others wanted to organize a minyan in Utopia Parkway Jewish Center. The Board of Trustees of Utopia Parkway met, and they made a very interesting decision, which I think from their point of view was intelligent. It happened to be a gift to Torah, but they didn't understand what would happen. They said, fine. The downstairs, you can put in a mechitza, make an Orthodox minyan, but in order to daven here, everyone has to join the shul. We want money, we want support. Our numbers are thinning out, and you have to help support the shul. They asked Rav Heschel Schechter, from what I was told, and Rav Heschel did not know what Rav Henkin told me, but he gave exactly the same psak, and even to be a member. What's wrong? You're downstairs, you have a machitza. Well, this began about 30 years ago. I davened there a number of times when I was the guest of Rabbi Leff in that area. And fine, good. Rabbi Hertz was the rabbi downstairs. And as time moved on, few and fewer people are upstairs. And who's on the board of trustees? People are paying dues. They have a right to be elected. The board of trustees votes. The shul has to become Orthodox. All right, there was opposition. I've spoken about this many times. I want to be very brief. That one lady who lived in Florida, she came up for every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur from Florida to be with her children, grandchildren, and she went to court that she had contributed tens of thousands of dollars over the years. It's a public trust, and she contributed it because she thought it is a conservative temple. And if you turn it into an Orthodox shul, you are robbing the money that she put in. And her claim was that in a conservative temple, men and women have to sit together. Well, the Orthodox element had some good lawyers. It's a net Gentile judge, by the way, if I recall correctly. And they brought in expert testimony that at the Jewish Theological Seminary, the flagship institution of conservative Judaism in the world, there was always a minyan with a mechitza at which Rabbis Lieberman and Finkelstein and Heschel davened, the Zimitrovsky davened there, Preschel, there was always a mechitza. So it proves that a conservative institution can also be conservative and have a synagogue with separate seating with a mechitza. And the judge ruled in favor of the Orthodox element, and this does not contradict it being a public trust. That shul today, which is worth a fortune, the location, the property, it's right next to Utopia, it's off Utopia Parkway, right next to the Long Island Expressway, am I right? The LIE, I believe, is right next to it. And it today is totally Georgian Bukharin. The Orthodox Ashkenazi minyan, I don't believe it exists anymore. I think it's all entirely a Dat HaMizrach. Now, what's happened in Queens is that at one time many young couples moved into Hillcrest. Today, that is reversed. You don't find young couples moving in. There are two new rabbis in Hillcrest. I hope they'll revitalize the place. One is in the Young Israel, is Rabbi Eliezer Schnau, has just begun his tenure as rabbi of the Young Israel of Hillcrest.
And,
excuse me?
Eitan
Schnau. What, Eitan?
Eitan.
Oh, Eliezer is his brother then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Correct. Thank you so much, Yomar. You're right. It's Rabbi Eitan Schnau, not Dr. Eliezer Schnau. He's a psychologist. He teaches in the psychology division of Yeshiva University. And the Rabbi Eitan is wonderful. He's a Talmud Chacham. I just saw his piece in Torah to Go on when you're traveling on Hanukkah. And it's a very nice piece. He describes it. He has this Rishonim and explains it. And I can add a postscript that I once traveled on Hanukkah and coming through El Al's area. It's before the new terminal was built at JFK. It was a separate area, El Al. And we're getting ready to board the plane. And Chabad, Kol HaKavod, candles to light. It was after Plag. They said, Paskim, make a bracha. They quoted Poskim. And this is your home now. This is where you're flying. This is El Al. Because I'm going to arrive in Israel the next day, and next morning. I can't. Okay? And I remember we lit on the way to the plane. Kol HaKavod to Chabad. But halacha l'maisa, you see, Rav Henkin and Rav Shechta differed with Rav Maisha regarding renting a room in a conservative temple. In the case of the Utopia Parkway Jewish Center, it worked out l'kavod u'l'tiferet, that ultimately that entire property became dedicated to Torah Hashem. I believe there's a day school there as well from the Bukharin community. And it all goes back to Rav Heschel's Psak. And for years they davened there. Rabbi Hertz was there. And now, if you're familiar with Hillcrest, two blocks from the Young Israel is the Hillcrest Torah Center. It's a breakaway from the Inyan. So my Talmud Rabbi Flam was there for many years. And Rabbi Foskowitz afterwards. And now Rabbi Hertz began as rabbi there. So you have two new rabbis in Hillcrest. And I hope they can reverse the trend. As one of the rabbis told me, we have funerals. We don't have bar mitzvahs anymore. I hope they can reverse the trend and we can say l'kavod u'l'tiferet, we have bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, those type of celebrations. We don't have many funerals anymore. Okay. So to reiterate, these are three tshuvot that me'inyan le'inyan ba'oto inyan. Fascinating tshuva. The dance hall, can you rent it? Reb Maisha, and there I don't think there'd be much disagreement with Reb Maisha, but there's no question that if they would buy it, and maybe they ultimately did, I don't know what goes on, someone have to do a history of St. Louis, the Torah community, if they would buy it, even if it, you could make the claim of Hasagat Gvul, but it's more important to have more shuls and more kedusha and more minyanim and more choice and less of machlokes. You can see that in the tshuva as well, that if people have a choice, there's less machlokes. We used to use the word in Yiddish, butchin, butchit alamol and shul. People are always complaining. Give them choice and they won't complain so much. So that's Reb Menashe Klein, that's the original tshuva. And we spoke about Reb Maisha, that the St. Louis, going back to Reb Menashe Klein, it was the dance hall, Reb Maisha was St. Louis, a similar question. And Me'inyan Le'inyan, Le'oto Inyan, Reb Maisha dealing with renting a room in the conservative temple. And I'll tell you something, there's something very insightful that I if you know, older people think they're wiser, sometimes we're overly wise, we're overly bright. You take Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz, to me, is a source of great heartache. His best friend was also my best friend for many years in Israel till he died, Zvi Groner. He writes about him in one of his books. It's the last one I think he writes about Tzvi Groner with the baseball. He wanted to be a pitcher, so it's not the pitch on Shabbos. And Alan Dershowitz writes about my Talmud, Jean-Jacques Zimmelman, well-known lawyer, dear Talmud of mine. He writes about him in Chutzpah. And I mean, what went wrong there? And it hurts. My best friend, who I lived with in my building till his death a year ago, I still haven't. I miss him. Sam Dershowitz, a cousin. And so many people in the family of Frum and Dershowitz's own grandfather was the one of the two, three founders of Torah Vadash. Goes back to Dershowitz in Williamsburg. And what went wrong? And Dershowitz has something very insightful. It's his latest book, where he deals partially with a memoir of his youth. And he says his mother was very bright. And they would come home from the Young Israel of Borough Park, where they davened, where he was raised, and she was always criticizing the rabbi. And he says, that had an impact on me. And later in life, he didn't just criticize rabbis, he criticized Kol HaTorah Kula and threw it away, with great harm to his own family. I don't want to go into details publicly. Privately, I can tell you. Great harm. And I have to tell you, sometimes you have to have seichel. Not all rabbis are geniuses. And even where rabbis are geniuses, at times they'll paskin something you won't agree with. Here you have Reb Moshe with the conservative temple, and you have on the other side Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, exactly the opposite. And then you can find fault. But ain't tzaddik v'yaretz, are we perfect? Who are we to find fault? And the older I grew, the broader I became. In other words, don't think you know it all, and don't think you're always right. And, keep the criticisms down to a minimum. We're only human beings. And I saw something in my shul. I compliment. The Gabbai is a cousin of one of my Talmidim, one of my great Talmidim. Beryl Phillips, if the name means anything to you. It's from your time, you remember, yeah. Beryl? So this is his cousin. The family split, running away from Germany in the 1930s. One part came here, one part came to America. His cousin's mother actually wrote a memoir, and she writes how she went to America during the Tsena to visit her family that they hadn't seen each other from the 30s. This is the 50s now, right? And she felt a little jealous. They're living in a beautiful house in suburbia in America, and they're suffering here. They can't even get eggs or chicken. They had to have rations, you understand? But she didn't regret. She just mentions it in passing. Thank God she didn't regret, because with all the good of America, that family went through hell. The family here had it much better on a personal level of life and death. You follow me, Natan? So Beryl's cousin, Yitzchak Lera, should live and be well. It's the Gabbai of the Minyan of my Davenet. So the Shabbos morning minyan, I have a friend, I know him since 43, he welcomed me to Solanta. But people grow older, some people are more self-centered. He didn't like this Gabbai davens too quickly. Right, he davens too quickly, so start 5 minutes early if it's okay to Zimra. And I saw something, I was embarrassed. Someone older than I am, he's screaming aloud, the Gabbai's up to Chveis Yishtabach, and he's only up to Ashrei, and he's screaming aloud, Ashrei! So the Gabbai was very smart. Instead of saying a word, instead of getting angry, comes Kriyas HaTorah. Who does he give Shishi to? The guy who shouted and shouted. And I gave the Gabbai credit afterwards. I said, Mashata sita b'chachma yitega, mariyakit lecha. Oh, you understand me, Natan? That's seichel. Don't criticize it. The rabbi said, you're smarter than the rabbi. All right, fine. You can be smarter than the rabbi. But the rabbi's the rabbi. He represents the shul, represents Yiddishkeit, represents Torah. He's an elecha rabbi. He's an elecha mensch. He does good. Don't criticize. Seichel, seichel. And that little insight of Alan Dershowitz, I say kol hakavod. He opens you to his youth. And you know, a kid, he's a bright kid. He was 14, 15, 15, 16. He's coming home from Shul Shabbos. He's, well, the rabbi, what is it? Rabbi is missing this. Rabbi's interpretation. What do you get all excited about? Well, you constantly heard that criticism. His mother never dreamt that one day that criticism would be against Moshe Rabbeinu v'Torah Hashem Tamimah. It reminds me now, I can't help it, but Rabbi Schwadron, who used to hear in BMT, used to say, when you think of something, it's nevuah, you have to say it. So if I mentioned Alan Dershowitz, let me end off this year, let me end off with one more true story. Bididi Haviyuvda, I was scholar in residence, the young Israel of Cedarhurst, not a poor community. And I speak and whatever, do my job. People are impressed, Baruch Hashem, not criticizing. And there's a beautiful kiddush afterwards. Ein ani yut b'makom ha'shirut, quoting the Gemara in Menachot about the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Kalim mikalim, they fed the animals with beautiful kalim to drink from. Ein ani yut b'makom ha'shirut. What a kiddush. And towards the end of the kiddush, two very fancy elderly women come over. And one of them says, Barakefet, we enjoyed your sermon, your talk, but we were surprised. You quoted chutzpah from Alan Dershowitz. He's not religious. And I explain, yeah, he speaks about my Talmud, I know. And I say, all right, you have a point. I say, and what's your name? She says, oh, I'm Alan Dershowitz's mother. Boy, I fell through the floor, but I kept a smile on my face. And she was widowed already. She was staying with a friend in Cedarhurst. She was Alan Dershowitz's mother. So to reiterate, first of all, I want to be Moda LaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just celebrated a milestone birthday. And a lot of Mazel Tovs came in and people wanted to know why I don't have a big festival and a big celebration. And I wrote back just this morning, Yomo will testify, I dictated the email to him, that there are reasons why I don't have to elaborate. If you know, you understand. I've seen too many of my friends have big birthdays and dash afterwards. But I said the real celebration of the birthday will be the Sheyorim I will give today and tomorrow. Yomo, is that what I said? All right, Yomo is in my camp today. He's in my league. He's shaking his head with a big yes. So I need Modela Kaddish Baruch Hu. I did okay today. I read Menashe Klein's tshuva, two tshuvot from Reb Meisha. Me and Ibigur at the Inyan, we spoke about the whole question of the conservative temple. Halacha l'maisa, if you have a question, each one has to be dealt with individually, but the basic thrust has to be, if we can daven, and they're giving us the space and we need it, and they don't interfere, why not? And I'll tell you, I'll add on one little postscript. You know, it can work the other way too. Some of these people might look in to see how you're davening, what you're davening. And the rabbi speaking may mention this is the way Jews have davened from time immemorial. Az Yashi Moshe v'teitzei Miriam v'hanashim v'chulu. And it could be this is what's kept us good Jews. Continuity. No assimilation. no intermarriage, etc., could be will impress one of those conservative people. And as I know from my own life experience, when you make one family from 50 years later, there can be 100 descendants from that family. I've had it with one family I made from, there more than 100 descendants today. All right, it's 60 years later, 63 perhaps, 60 years later. So I wouldn't dismiss it. There's something to be said. And we spoke about Alan Dershowitz. There's a very insightful memoir. My mother came home and she was always critical. Fascinating. And then we spoke about Rakefet getting his face smacked by his mother, which also is fascinating. By the way, as if you know, it's an afterthought. I'm his mother. I'm Alan's mother. My dear students, nothing will prepare you for next week. We go further. Reb Menashe Klein, a world. Tell me, Natan. Your wife has a friend, your wife-to-be has a friend who not succeeding in finding a chatan. And she has a nose that's a little longer than normal. Would you advise her to have plastic surgery on the nose? That's the next topic we're coming into. If there are no questions here, Yomo, get over here to open it to the world. I want to remind you tomorrow morning, tomorrow she is extremely important. You're going to see part of a memoir that deals with Satma today. And then we're going to go into the whole machloket. We're sailing. We will reach, within reason, Rakefet's refutation of Satma. But we're almost there, but not yet. Also, I want to mention to the Shurins that I'll give you the exact source tomorrow. I looked it up. I was right. It's from Rabbi Dolphin's book. I'll give you the exact page tomorrow. So to the gentlemen who were brave enough to come in person, particularly Elliot, you're the one who has to travel and deal with the traffic, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because all these wonderful people on screen, but it's not the same as those sitting before me. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya, open it to the world.
Recording stopped.
Are there any questions from around the world? New York, Chicago, everyone silent? Wow, okay. So I want to thank you for honoring me with your presence. And once again, I want to thank Yomo and Jack. They put a lot of effort into detailing what's on the shir and putting it up. And people already will respond today. I already have emails today from today's shir. So, Todah Rabah for your help. Lahadil Torah ulahadira. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Okay.
Oh.
Bruchen to you.
Happy
Bruchen
birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. All right. Happy birthday. I'm still, you know, I can still claim I'm not 85 because my Hebrew birth, my real birthday, I should say, is Dalet, fourth night of Hanukkah. But that, I celebrate. I have one grandson who was born eighth night of Hanukkah. So we're going to have a little party at another, we're going to have various grandchildren together. That's more Hanukkah than birthday. Okay? Where did your wife-to-be go to school?
She's from Johannesburg. She went to Yeshiva College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell her 20 years ago I was the guest of Johannesburg and I spoke in Yeshiva College and other places. Where'd she study in Israel?
Midrashat Harova.
Rabbi Yehuda Zussman, ask her. If she studied Rabbi Zussman, shows me a thank you, that's my student. Okay. In addition, how do you understand her English?
It's okay.
It's okay? It's only okay because Seinfeld played big in South Africa. That's how they learned English, that you two can get together in English. Take my word for it. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Next week we start with the nose. It's fascinating material.
Okay. Thank you.